Again, thank you for joining me today. I remember several months ago when I said, many people say they don't have time to pray. And what is the encouraging word is that if we don't give time to pray, we will never pray. That means we don't have to find time to pray. We need to give time to pray. And thank you for giving the time today to pray. I would like to start with a summary of the reading from John chapter 4 and then a short reflection on worship, going back again to the life of the Samaritan woman, or I would say the discourse between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Have you ever wondered why there are maps included in the pages of the Bible? Of course, it's towards the end. For a while, I was thinking about it, but, you know, as I studied the scriptures, now we understand why there are maps in the Bible. And I'm going to share with you in a moment. If you would recall yesterday, from yesterday's reflection, Israel's northern kingdom was treated with disdain or looked down upon by the southern kingdom and considered pagans in worship. Ironically, the southerners rejected Jesus, while the northerners were the ones who welcomed the ministry of Jesus. The reason why there are maps, and I would say this is one of the reasons, is that the gospel writers want us to follow the life of Jesus and the details of his ministry. Why did Jesus move towards the north? It's because after the death of John the Baptist, they started looking at Christ and was curious about him, and they started attacking him. And there were some parts of the south that he was rejected, and so hence he went to the north. And so that is one of the reasons why we have maps in the Bible. But it is important to follow the itinerary of Jesus' ministry, because then it explains some of the things that happened. And no wonder why today we hear again that Jesus says, a prophet is honored except in his own town or people. In other places, Jesus was accepted. In fact, the Samaritans said, why don't you stay longer with us? Samaritans were considered pagans by the southerners. And yet those who were supposed to be Jews, they were the ones who were antagonistic. They showed rejection in terms of the ministry of Christ. So that is the reason why. I would like to continue with the discourse, as I said a while ago, between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And I would like to particularly point to the latter part of that gospel, and it says, Jesus said to her, to the woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, why did Jesus say that? You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, rather, in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus ended by saying, I who speak to you am he. Why did Jesus enunciate these words? Particularly when Jesus said, God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Of course, that is the discourse, as I said, ended by Jesus admitting that he is the Messiah. Allow me to go back very quickly to the story of Exodus. God sent Moses and Aaron to haggle and argue with Pharaoh and say about the Hebrew people, "Let my people go." This phrase has been mentioned 9 times in the process during the time that Moses and Aaron were arguing with Pharaoh, "Let my people go." 9 times. Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, "Why would I let them go? They are my slaves. And what will you do in the wilderness? And who is this God giving you the instruction for me to let them go?" Moses and Aaron answered Pharaoh by saying, "God wants them to go to the wilderness to serve him." Now, the other word for serve is to worship him, to have a festival, to celebrate God and his goodness. In other words, God wants a people free. For what reason? To worship him. What an odd reason, at least for now. Is it because God is desperate for a people to worship him? I don't think so. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 9 to 10 says, "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. There are no other gods." We may call people, humans may call other gods gods, but there is only one God. And beyond that, let us be reminded that the Magi came from the east. The pagans, they were not Jews. They came from the east to worship God. That means God apparently has called his creation to worship him. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 4, "Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord," this is at the Transfiguration Mountain, "it is good for us to be here, if you wish. Let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." That means the disciples, Peter was saying, "This is really great. I want to stay here. If this is what worship is all about, why don't we just stay here? Let's not go down from this mountain. Let's just stay here." And I believe that that is what happens to us when we worship God, when we truly worship God. We want to stay in his presence. One day with the Lord is better than thousands outside, from what the psalmist says. The Jews and the Samaritans were arguing over which is the holy mountain or a holier place to worship God. This was a long time, a protracted argument. Sounds familiar. The Samaritans say, "It's on the mountain called Gerizim." While the Jews say, "No, it's on Mount Zion, chosen by our fathers, and where Solomon built his temple. This is where we should worship." So now you understand what the argument was all about between the Samaritans and the Jews, the northerners and the southerners. And Jesus corrects this foolish dispute instead and speaks about the true worship and the essence of true worship. Given the context, in essence, Jesus is saying, it is really not the place that constitutes worship. Of course, God gathers us in a place. But beyond that, Jesus said, let me remind his words, or remind us with his words, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Worshiping God is fellowshipping with him through Jesus Christ, the truth, expressed in adoration, thanksgiving, and intercession, through which believers draw near to God and learn more of his will for their lives. My brothers and sisters, worship is understood as not singing 3 fast songs and 3 slow songs at church. Worship goes beyond Sunday service. We worship God with the very way we live, through our obedience, even when we are, or rather after our worship. Worship is giving God praise, adoration and reverence, both in public and private. Scripture stresses the vital role of the Holy Spirit in stimulating and guiding believers in worship and prayer. As a charismatic Christian, we believe that the Holy Spirit moves in the Mass, during the Mass, healing people. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is at work because He is present among us when we worship. Worship is turning to God in awe, praise, and joy. As His people, we realize how wonderful God is, and we are ever thankful that we are worshiping the one and true God. Not worshiping creatures, animals, reptiles, from what St. Paul said. Not worshiping nature, not worshiping creation. But we're worshiping the God who created all things. We worship God in truth through what Christ has done. Our worship is received through the mediation of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He is the high priest. So now it makes sense why Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. In ending, I would like to point out something very important. Going back to Exodus, it shows that those who truly worship God in spirit and in truth are those who have been set free. Remember what Moses and Aaron said to Pharaoh, let my people go, set them free. And those who worship God in spirit and in truth are those who have been set free by accepting Him as their Lord and Savior in their lives. Didn't Jesus say in the Gospel of John says, if the Son of Man has set you free, you are free indeed. Those who are in slavery cannot worship God. But those who have been set free in Christ worships God in spirit and in truth. And that is the kind of worship God wants us to offer to Him. Amen.